Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Monday, April 5th. Max Hurst talking Vandy Boys baseball, recapping a pair of SEC sweeps over the last two weekends. You can subscribe to the Anchor Down Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher, where our episodes are free on demand anytime. We talk about Vanderbilt baseball year-round, and I got to apologize for slacking on the series recaps the last few weeks. We are back, and we are going to talk about two road sweeps over the last couple of weekends against Missouri and LSU. Vanderbilt is 8-1 through three SEC weekends. Their only loss was Game 3 opening weekend at home against South Carolina. Through three SEC series, they are the only team with one or fewer losses. That's right. Vanderbilt's got sole possession of first place in the SEC right now. They are the number one ranked team in the country, and they're playing like it. Jack Leiter is the best player in college baseball right now. The bullpen has been amazing. Kamar Rocker has done everything asked of him. And again, Leiter's been a little bit better. But they've both been great at the front of the Vandy rotation. The most important thing for me right now, with Vanderbilt sitting at 23-3, shockingly at the halfway point of the season, Vanderbilt's played 26 regular season games. They have 27 more scheduled, which will get them to 53. Usually they play 56. This year, one was canceled on top of the already slightly reduced midweek schedule and non-conference schedule because of COVID changes that impacted other conferences' abilities to play originally scheduled games against Vandy. So here we are, three series out of 10 into the SEC schedule, at the halfway point of the regular season schedule. This is what's most important to me. In a sport structured to crown champions who win best two out of three series, Vanderbilt is the most qualified champion of all time. Has there ever been a team in college baseball purely built to win two out of three every freaking weekend against any challenger with Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter? Reasons A and B, or 1A and 1B for that distinction? You win a series by winning two out of three in the regular season. That's obvious. Vanderbilt's won all three of their series so far. They've swept two of those three. They're 8-1 in conference games. But looking down the road, the SEC tournament, you don't have to win it to win a national title. Vandy did win it in 2019. If you sweep it, you play four games. You can sweep a regional the first round of the NCAA postseason by winning three straight. First team to win three, and last team to not lose twice, wins the regional. And how do you put yourself in position to do that? You win the first two. If you win the first two, you get two cracks at a team that's played one more game than you already. And if you win one of those, you finish off the regional. In a super, best two out of three. No strings attached. You, an opponent, best two out of three is going to Omaha. Then in the College World Series, there's two groups of four. Within your bracket of four, you play a regional, and then the winner of each bracket plays a best two out of three series, so a super regional. This is a sport designed to crown champions who win best two out of three. There is no single elimination stage of this other than Tuesday at the SEC tournament, which Vanderbilt will not be a part of because they will have a bye, barring a catastrophic collapse, of course. In a sport designed to give you two out of three, the 2021 Vanderbilt baseball team is the most prolific team in the history of the sport at winning two out of three. That's exactly how they're designed. And most of the time, they haven't even lost the third game. Jack Leiter, who I've said on this show and a ton of other places, is the most sure thing major leaguer I've seen in my 8 years covering Vanderbilt. That includes Swanson, Buehler, Fulmer. and everyone in between. Blade, Martin second, but Jack Leiter's first, the most sure thing big leaguer, the safest MLB draft pick to ever come out of Vanderbilt. No hits in his first two SEC starts, 16 innings of no-hit ball, and then four more innings without allowing a hit and striking out basically everybody against LSU on Friday night. He finally allowed a leadoff hit to Collier Cranford in the bottom of the fifth inning. It's funny to say, because the first start was a no-hitter, a full nine-inning completed no-hitter, but in these last two starts, Leiter's had it all working. He's added something every week. Against LSU this past week, it was the cutter. We saw a lot of cutters, and I've been waiting to see more of it because it's a damn good pitch. I don't know if he hasn't needed yet. He hasn't had full feel for it yet. Whatever it is, we haven't seen as many cutters from Leiter yet, but they were out in full force against LSU. It's a hard pitch. It breaks a little bit like his slider, but much sharper, and it'll sit between probably 85 and 90 in games. I think he's thrown it as hard as 91, 92. But that's a valuable pitch for Leiter. It's a new pitch. It's a pitch that Austin Martin inspired him to start with a text from Blue Jays alternate site camp last summer. He was facing a righty who was throwing hard cutters on him. He couldn't hit it. He texted Jack Leiter. He said, "Hey, do you throw a cutter? This guy reminds me of you, and he throws a cutter that I can't hit. You should throw a cutter." Well, Jack Leiter, the robot program to make every move possible to become a Major League Baseball ace over the course of the last 5-10 years of his life, added a cutter. Easy as that. Back in the Anchor Down podcast on November on this very show, we talked to Cooper Davis, one of Vanderbilt's senior starters and a leader on the Commodore team, and a funny dude, too, who's able to talk specific baseball, but have a good laugh about it. This is what Davis said in a podcast interview that you can go back and listen to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher. Search the Anchor Down podcast. At the end of the fall season, I asked him about Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter adding new pitches, and he said, "Oh, I wish I would have known about those before I had to hit against them in fall intrasquads." And Leiter's cutter was the one that stood out.
As a cutter, it was Jack's cutter. He threw it like a wet. I remember he came like with a backdoor cutter, like strike one. And I kind of looked at myself. I was like, "What was that? Is that a slider? Did he just like slip on a fastball?" And I looked back at the film. It was like a 92-mile-an-hour cutter to the other half. And I was just like, "Oh, okay." And then I talked to him about it after. He goes, "Yeah, I'm trying to throw a cutter." I'm like, "Well, all right, it was pretty good."
Pretty good, Jack Leiter's cutter. And it hasn't been 92 miles an hour in games. It doesn't need to be. That would be cool if it was, but it doesn't have to be 92 miles an hour to be effective. And he's just had it all working. He's had both breaking balls working at times. The fastball's been great throughout. He's had a little bit of arm side control struggles. But Jack Leiter has pitched himself into passing Kamar Rocker as the likely number one pick if the draft were tonight. It's not till July 11th, and we're not going to know where it is either. It was going to be in Atlanta with the All-Star game, but it is part of the moving event that is leaving Atlanta. So we're waiting to see where Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker will potentially be drafted first and second, and they both have a ton of outings to go until then and a lot of time for the Pirates at first overall and the Rangers at number two overall to decide who they're going to take and why, but Leiter, in his first three SEC starts this season, has struck out 38 batters in 22 innings. It's unbelievable. He's been amazing. Looking forward to seeing him pitch against Georgia. And unless national TV comes in and scoops it up, which if I were them, I would, but I don't think that's going to happen. I will be on play-by-play for that game on SEC Network Plus Friday night at 6:30 against Georgia. Looking forward to four home games this week. UT Martin Tuesday night, then Georgia Thursday at 7 on the SEC Network, Friday at 6:30 on SEC Network Plus, and then Saturday at 2 on SEC Network Plus. This is Vanderbilt's third straight Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. After this, they will not have any more until the final week of the season, where everybody does that to give an extra day of rest before the conference tournament. While Leiter has been setting the pace every time out, Kamar Rocker hasn't had his best start the last two times, but part of that is because He hasn't been able to go as deep. And I think the big picture thing to remember with Kamar Rocker this season is how tumultuous his schedule has been. He's supposed to be the Friday night guy. He's the ace of the staff. He's finally number one. He's the senior member of the starting rotation in his third year of college ball as a junior. But the schedule hasn't really cooperated because of weather and other things. His first start was supposed to be on a Friday. It came 3 days later on a Monday in game one of a doubleheader back on February 22nd against Wright State. Then they bumped him back to Sunday against Georgia State. Then the next week he was on Saturday against Illinois-Chicago. Then he was moved up a day at a time. Final week in non-conference play. He was finally supposed to pitch on a Friday. Friday night game got canceled at Oklahoma State. He pitched on a Saturday. South Carolina, he finally goes on a Friday. He has an amazing outing. 14 strikeouts over 8 innings and a 3-2 win. Then Missouri, he pitches Thursday in a game that's delayed 2 hours because of rain. Then LSU Thursday again. This man has not been dealt an easy hand. So if his velocity is down, which it was this past week, and according to Kylie McDaniel from ESPN, who just kind of gets info from scouts, so who knows if this is coming from one scout or 10 scouts or what, but maybe take it with a little grain of salt. His velocity has been down overall the entire month of March and onto April 1st when he pitched against LSU, and his arm slot has been down too, which means he's been releasing the ball from a lower point in his delivery and basically changed his entire delivery. So if Rocker is making these changes on purpose, you can't really fault him for his fastball being in the low 90s instead of the mid-90s. But he certainly didn't have his best stuff against LSU. Maybe same thing against Missouri. Only 13 strikeouts. This is where we are with Kamar Rocker. He only had 13 strikeouts in 12 innings combined over his last two starts. So we'll see him against Georgia, the team from one of his home states. The man has moved around quite a bit as his dad, Tracy, has coached across the college and pro football world, including living in Nashville, by the way. We also interviewed Tracy Rocker on the podcast in the fall while we're plugging all the cool interviews we did in the fall season. If you like Vanderbilt baseball and you aren't subscribed to the Anchor Down podcast, you should be. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Last week, we had former Vanderbilt pitcher who got the final strikeout in the 2014 National Championship against UVA. Adam Ravenel was on the podcast, and his minor league career lasted 5 seasons. He's back in baseball now, working in the virtual reality technology space in baseball. He's working for Win Reality, who's partnering with the Vanderbilt baseball team to provide their hitters with virtual reality tools. Listen to that interview from last Wednesday if you haven't. Vanderbilt Commodore legend Adam Ravenel doing some really cool work now. We talk about the virtual reality side and, of course, his Vandy career as well. Those of you listening over the air on Monday, April the 5th from 8 to 9 on 102.5 The Game as the podcast plays back, you will hear that interview in its entirety in the second half of this hour around 8:25, 8:30 or so. So if you aren't subscribed to the podcast and you follow Vanderbilt Baseball, make sure you subscribe to the Anchor Down podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher. When we come back, we'll talk about the position players as well as the Vandy bullpen, who has been great in the first 9 SEC games. Vandy is 8-1, sole possession of first place in the SEC. You're anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz, to ESPN. 102.5 The Game.
Fans, it's time for the Anchor Down podcast with Max Herz. Anchor Down!
Welcome back to the Anchor Down podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Herz. I'm your host. It's Monday, April 5th. Recapping Vanderbilt's last two SEC series, both sweeps and both on the road of Missouri and LSU. Vanderbilt baseball's 8-1, and we talked about the guys who are going to win 2 out of 3 for them or have done so far every weekend. I'm not crazy about pitcher wins as a stat. A lot of the time, it doesn't really mean much. But Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter have both started 7 games. Vanderbilt has won all 14 of those games, and both of their individual pitching records are 7-0. So regardless of whether every single win has meant something or not, that's still cool. In the bullpen, I'm not going to brag, and I've already referenced two interviews we did on the podcast in the fall. The two player guests we've had since the season started here on the Anchor Down podcast have been by far Vanderbilt's two best relievers. I mean, they have both been studs. Nick Maldonado and Luke Murphy. Maldonado's sophomore right-hander has already pitched more innings than he did last season. Valuable arm out of the Vandy pen. And the last two weekend series, he's extended himself to finish off a couple of wins with three scoreless innings. Series finale against Missouri, came in with a 3-1 lead, needed just 37 pitches, allowed one base runner, struck out four over a scoreless 7th, 8th, and 9th. And then against LSU, did it again in game number two on Friday with a bigger lead after Jack Leiter started. Again, three scoreless innings, again, four strikeouts, again, just one hit, one walk as well. 39 pitches for Maldonado, who bounced back after allowing runs for the first time this season in his first ever SEC pitching appearance against South Carolina in Vandy's only SEC loss on Sunday, March the 21st. Maldonado, and we talk about this in the interview, if you haven't heard it, go back a couple weeks on the podcast page, Anchor Down Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. His arsenal's a little bit different than most of the Vandy pitchers. He relies on a two-seam fastball, which runs in on right-handers and away from left-handed hitters, and then a cutter, which runs away from righty batters and in on lefty batters. Those are his two primary pitches. But he's also shown the ability to really slow it down with a slider, which is a true breaking ball, and then also a changeup that we've seen a little bit of. I asked him about that changeup specifically right after he threw his first one against Belmont, and those pitches really have their spots, and as he pitches longer in games and against better teams, we'll see them more and more. Maldonado has been great. So has Luke Murphy, who had not allowed a run until Saturday in the series finale against LSU. Came in with two outs in the eighth inning and a two-run lead. Allowed a run with some control problems in the ninth. Two walks and a hit by pitch. Got that run in. But he finished it off, got the win, and 0.87 ERA. Just that one run through 10 and a third innings for Luke Murphy across now eight appearances in this, his junior season. And this is a guy who walked half the batters he faced last year. Nine walks of the 18 batters he faced coming off of Tommy John surgery as a sophomore last season in his first college outings. This year, he has faced 39 batters, and he's struck out 18 of them. It's unbelievable. He's been amazing at the back end of the bullpen, and with how much Vandy won those first two games by with Rocker and Leiter pitching, and I mean, they've blown him out when Rocker and Leiter pitch most of the time, especially these last two weekends. All four of those wins have been blowouts. They didn't need Murphy until the final inning of the weekend. He's proven now he can pitch twice a series or even on back-to-back days if they need him to, but they used Loboke to finish off after Rocker on Friday. Took it the distance, sorry, on Thursday in game one of the series. Then Friday, which was game two this past week, Maldonado went the distance after Leiter. And then Schultz had three relievers come after him. Miles Garrett, who did some tough jam work, made a very good defensive play, Miles Garrett did. That's the first ball he's fielded as a college pitcher. He stumbled off the mound, still got a forced play at home, and watching Major League Baseball this weekend, even Major League pitchers cannot freaking field. Yet every Vanderbilt pitcher can do exactly what they're asked to. It's unbelievable. Something about this program that goes unspoken and oftentimes unnoticed because it's just a sure thing that almost all the time the pitcher is going to make the play. So shout out to Miles Garrett for that. Ethan Smith was great over 2 2/3. His second inning, which was the seventh, he pitched the sixth, pitched the seventh, and got the first two outs of the eighth and had an error behind him, came on Murphy. Pitching change came at the correct time, I thought. It worked out. One run win. But Ethan Smith in that seventh inning, that's the best Ethan Smith. Really great, and then Murphy finished it off. So the bullpen deployment was very good in that game, I thought, and Vandy earned a win because of it. Some brief thoughts on the position players. Parker Noland is immensely valuable to this team right now. He filled in at first for Dominic Keegan when he had COVID. He's filling in at second for Tate Colwick, who's out with a broken bone in his wrist. This guy's naturally a third baseman. He was the DH on opening day. There were reports that he was a defensive liability coming out of summer ball with the quote-unquote scouts seeing him, and he all of a sudden has played two spots, both on the right side of the infield. that he had never played before in games, and he's been great. He's been hitting the ball well, especially putting a charge into it the other way as a lefty batter. And he had an amazing slide, too, in the game on Saturday to sneak in with a hustle double around a tag at second. He slid past the bag on purpose. His body went past the bag on a feet-first slide. He dodged the tag because of it and got his right hand down on the base as the tag chased his lower body. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, we'll leave you with this for this bi-series recap. Every week we do a Tim Corbin quote of the week here on the Anchor Down podcast because Coach Corbin says some funny stuff, and oftentimes it's at his players' expense. We haven't had a show in a few weeks, so I'm going to take you back to St. Patrick's Day. And remember, it's St. Patrick's Day because that matters. Tim Corbin talking about his leadoff hitter at the time, senior Cooper Davis, not a power bat, hitting his first college homer 4 years into his college career on St. Patrick's Day. Get ready to laugh.
He's an adept hitter. He can move the ball to the middle of the field. He now probably is a little bit brainwashed in the fact that he hit a wind-aided home run out to center field and now thinks he might have a little bit of power in his bat. But we could certainly, on a day like today when we're celebrating leprechauns, can celebrate him as being that and being someone that should stick to a short game.
Oh, no! Tim Corbin called his senior right fielder short. He called his style short. Oh, incredible. He called his offensive game short. It had it all. I mean, Coach Corbin can dish it out and take it like no other. That was great. So there's the Tim Corbin quote of the last few weeks, we'll say. We'll be back on Wednesday with a Vanderbilt baseball player interview. Not sure who it'll be yet. Thinking it'll be one of the regular position players because we have already dipped twice into the bullpen for our past interviews. If you follow Vanderbilt baseball and don't subscribe to the Anchor Down podcast, you should change that. We talk about Vanderbilt baseball year-round here on the show the way it should be done with two episodes a week, and I promise we will be back in that rhythm now. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at Max Hurst Talks. Tweet at me, message me, let me know what you think. Always like to hear from folks who listen. And we will be back later this week. Vanderbilt, first of five straight home games, Tuesday night against UT Martin. Georgia's here over the weekend. We'll have a little preview of Georgia on Wednesday as well, in addition to that player interview. Georgia won on Friday, then lost the last two to South Carolina. They gave up some long balls, too. We'll talk about that Wednesday. UT Martin first meeting since 2017. Vandy won that last meeting 11-0, and my boy Reed Hayes had three hits and pitched the ninth inning. Always a shout-out to Reed Hayes. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. This is the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.